This is Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio.
You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser along with Remy Innocencio in our New York studio. Our next guest back from China, just back, in fact, investing for the University of Rochester. Doug Phillips is back with us, Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester, on the phone from the university. Janet Lauren is also here. She's our endowments reporter at Bloomberg News in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Doug, let me kick it off with you. You're just back from China. Tell us what you saw. What was impressive, especially since you guys have been investing there for some time. So what's of note that you think our audience and investors in general should be taking note when it comes to China?
Yeah, so thank you for allowing me to talk about this. And let me also caution that I'm not a full-time China investor. This is about high single-digit allocation for the University of Rochester across public and private positions. And a lot of these things are not applicable to individuals, so I'm not offering advice here. But look, China's, four times the size of the United States, 1.4 billion people. It's had an amazing economic and social progress, which I've seen in my short lifetime of 60 years. They have made amazing reforms in their government and economic policies and market practices. They're changing the way the state-owned enterprises are working with private industry inside the country and outside the country. And there's some recognition happening in the markets, too. The MSCI Emerging Markets Index, as you know, in June will start adding the China A-listed shares to its index. So that'll probably be a little tailwind for the index, that as long as those stocks are rising. But that also shows that the reforms and market reforms on Chinese companies have taken hold, and Morgan Stanley Capital International has recognized that and allowed it to become part of the index investment universe. So that's pretty good. Just back from China, I spent a month there. I go almost every year. I've gone for about 15 years. I sent you a note, and I said the way the economy and the market feels there, it's a little bit like the heyday when I really started investing in the 1980s here in the United States. You got to be careful about euphoria in those environments, but companies that are created there for the domestic Chinese market, they scale faster than they do in the United States. They get the profitability faster. It's an amazing time for technology investing in China. The technology doesn't always originate in China. A lot of it's U.S. technology and creativity, but they scale. They work it into their economy and their infrastructure of people really quickly, and they creatively combine things in ways that we haven't seen here in the United States.
So, Doug, can you tell us how you got involved in investing in China 15 years ago to now more than 10% of the $2.5 billion endowment?
Yeah, well, potentially more than 10%. It's actually around 7 in the ground today. But the we started because some of our smartest investment firms said, you know, we're looking at China, and everybody should pay attention to it because of what's happening there in population and the opening toward outside capital and some really pro-business activities. And also things in China, you know, they really value education, the Chinese people. Their average income has gone up, so the middle class rise. Things like Chinese travel outside the country as well as inside the country, and the accessibility to markets for outside investors. So there are a lot of positives in China, and just the, you know, the we hear a lot about infrastructure spending and housing developments and how they sometimes get ahead of things, and growth is slowing in China, but it's still a massive economy. It's the second largest in the world. Will probably be surpassing the GDP of the U.S. as the largest maybe 5-10 years from now. There's debate about that. Right. So, I mean, how could you ignore China? I guess is the question as a institutional investor, an individual investor. You can't ignore it. It's
right.
Too big.
Hence why, of course, we're talking with you about this, Doug. Now, I understand that you met with a lot of investment firms, a lot of CEOs, a lot of consultants. I'm wondering what they said, what conversations you had with regards to the switch, the transition to a market dominated by consumption. China has been doing this, especially consumption of new growth economies in light of the tech tariffs that are happening between the U.S. and China. How do you think those are moving ahead? Because that is, of course, the goal of Xi Jinping, to try to get them up and running self-sufficiently.
Yeah, so the switch from an export China's still a massive exporter, but the shifting toward a domestic consumption economy has really been profound. And I think to do this well, you have to pay attention to those sort of internally focused industries. And, there's consumer-based companies, and the Chinese use mobile phones. The penetration there is deeper than most other countries. Mm-hmm. The CEOs in China that I talk to are extraordinarily enthusiastic, and their companies grow, as I said earlier, grow at rates that you just don't see elsewhere in the world. And these are real numbers. These are audited, major audit firms in the West work through these numbers. So this is not fraud or bolstering numbers inappropriately. So it's very good. And we have independent views from people that have been on the ground in China for decades observing this. And that's why we use consultants and advisors.
And how do you find your new managers and your new investments when you go over there?
Yeah, a lot of it's by referrals from existing firms or other endowments. We have some pretty good connections in China through those sources. But we also identify companies that are doing well, look at who has invested in them, and talk to them. But we have three different groups that we use in China that we give them small amounts of money to invest in certain manager groups. And then the best of those groups we talk to individually.
Interesting. I love this topic, and I feel like we could go on for hours. So we're just going to have you back, Doug. but thank you so much for sharing your travels with us and some insight. Doug Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at University of Rochester, on the phone from Rochester, New York. Janet, it's just a reminder that, right, these endowments are looking for yield and returns.
Absolutely. And all over the world.
Yes, they are. Janet Loren is our endowments reporter at Bloomberg News in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Remy and Innocencia, so nice to have you here.
Yes, thank you for having me for today as well as yesterday. It has been terrific. I don't have to listen to you. I get to listen with you and speak with you.
It was fun to have you in here. Remy Innocencio. Check him out on Daybreak Asia. That's coming up this evening on Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg TV. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets. I'm Carol Masser in our Bloomberg 1130 studio, and this is Bloomberg Radio.